In the 11th chapter of Mark, Jesus is speaking about faith and prayer. And he says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe in your heart that you will receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, and your Father in heaven will forgive you all your sins. And throughout Scripture, the teachings of Jesus, we find that there is a major correlation between prayer and forgiveness. And it seems that Jesus never speaks about prayer without adding a command to forgive. And he generally speaks about forgiveness in relationship to prayer. And it is as though he is saying that this prayer, this life shared between God and myself, is very much linked up to forgiveness. And the biggest obstacle to prayer or to the flow of life between a person and God is unforgiveness. The first gift of Jesus is forgiveness. The reconciliation with the Father that he came to achieve is based on the forgiveness of sin. The death on the cross is for the forgiveness of sin. And he died for the forgiveness of all, the unworthy and the undeserving, the most sinful, those who would accept it and those who wouldn't. But always there is the forgiveness of sin flowing out from the Lord to all men for all sin, if there would only be the repentance. Now the first responsibility of the one who has been forgiven is to forgive. The first responsibility of the Christian who has been forgiven by God is to forgive his neighbor. There are two reasons why we bring this up in connection with healing: unforgiveness or resentment, holding on to hurts and grudges, are very much connected to sickness and to disease. And I think for two reasons. One is that many people are sick simply because they seethe inside with anger, with rage, with resentments. So many people are sick because they are crushed under the weight of their own grudges, their own spite, and their own desire for revenge. People can be consumed with resentments and hatreds. And I think that this shows up physically. I think it shows up emotionally, mentally, as well as spiritually. And I had a psychiatrist tell me once that he felt that most emotional problems are caused by unforgiveness, by hatreds buried deep inside, by deep-seated resentments, and that the Lord's command to forgive is the best way towards mental health, the best policy for anyone who would truly be healthy, is not to hold on to anger, not to hold on to unforgiveness or resentment, but to let them go. And so I think the first thing which connects unforgiveness to healing is very simply that anger, rage, or resentment causes sickness. And the sickness will not be healed until the resentment is gone. And resentment will go with an act of forgiveness. And secondly, and I think anyone who has been in the healing ministry finds this to be so true, is that many sicknesses are not healed because there is an obstacle of unforgiveness that blocks the flow of God's love. It is as though unforgiveness would stand as a barrier, and the healing power and the forgiving love of God cannot flow into the person to bring health and life until that obstacle is removed. And that obstacle is removed only by an act, a will, a decision to forgive. To both these situations, to sicknesses caused themselves by unforgiveness, and to sicknesses that are not healed because of unforgiveness, Christ speaks a command, not a suggestion, but a command, and it's that of forgiveness. And in Scripture, I think we read two things about forgiveness, two kinds of forgiveness, two sides of the one coin. One is that if I have hurt someone, I must seek forgiveness. And secondly, if I have been hurt, I must forgive. Now, the first is very humanly understandable. That's simply good ethic. If I have hurt someone, if I have caused pain, if I have been unjust, then I have a responsibility to seek out that person and ask forgiveness for the hurt I have caused. And I'd simply like to put a word of caution here, and that is that if I have sought a person out, if I have sought forgiveness, then I am at rights, if I am truly sorry, truly repentant, that I am in right relationship with God and with that person. The person giving me that forgiveness, offering me the forgiveness, is not my problem. It is that person's relationship with God that is then in question. As I've seen many cases of people who have gone to someone, sought forgiveness, and because the hurt was so bad or so deep, forgiveness wasn't given. And that person has come away with a heavy burden of guilt and sorrow. And yet, if you've caused hurt, you are truly repentant and you have sought forgiveness and tried to reconcile and rectify the mistake, then you are, with that act of your will and that act of your humility, at right with God and with that person. You can't take the other person's problem upon yourself. His or her relationship with God demands that he or she give forgiveness. But your relationship with God has been put right. And I think if the first one of seeking forgiveness to someone I have hurt is understandable, the second one is all the more difficult to understand. Need I forgive? Should I forgive? Must I forgive all those who have ever hurt me, especially when they aren't even seeking my forgiveness, especially when they're not even asking my forgiveness? The Lord's command to forgive is unconditional. To forgive those who come asking my forgiveness, to forgive those who don't even ask it, but to those who have hurt me. Humanly speaking, I suppose, if a person has been badly hurt, he has some right to bear a grudge, to harbor a resentment. Humanly speaking, perhaps there is some kind of right, but Christ has demolished those rights, and he has taken away any right that we would have to harbor resentment or hurt, to nurse a grudge. And I think with that demolishing of our right, he gives us also freedom, because he's telling us that we need not be a captive nor a prisoner to our hatreds and to our resentments. And he calls us beyond what is humanly understandable to what is divinely healing, forgiveness. And I think that there are some things that need to be said about the act of forgiveness or the forgiving of someone who has hurt me. And you know, we carry resentment so deep down inside. There are people who I have met and dealt with, and they are many, who bear deep-seated resentments against people who have been dead for years, against teachers in grade school, against classmates, against parents, against neighborly children. Long after the incident is forgotten, some people still harbor deep-seated grudges and desires for revenge. And the Lord is telling us to give them up and to move on to human wholeness. Now, some things, I am sure, are seemingly beyond human capacity to forgive. They are so truly unjust, the hurts I received, so deep, that perhaps it is almost beyond my human capability to speak out words of forgiveness. And I think if we go to John's Gospel, the story of the resurrection, we find Jesus coming into the upper room, the apostles with their fear, and then Jesus speaking out the words that were so common to him after the resurrection, "I give you peace," and just speaking out words of peace, calming the apostles' fears and anxieties with that peace which is his gift. And then he breathed upon them, and he gave them something which is very closely related to the gift of peace which he just bestowed upon them. With that peace, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." And what I see him doing there is something much larger than simply the sacrament of reconciliation, although I'm sure the sacrament of penance is involved. But he is giving out into his community the power of the Spirit of his love, the Spirit of his forgiveness, and the power to love and the power to forgive. And he is telling them, "I give you a choice. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." And he's saying, "You have now within you the capability, not by your own human capacity, but by the power of my Spirit, to decide and to choose. If you will, to let go and forgive a sin committed against you, then it will be forgiven. It will be dissolved. But if you choose to retain a sin committed against you, if you choose to hold on to a sin, to harbor a grudge, and to nurse a resentment, then it shall be retained. But the choice is yours." He was giving over to them the capacity to forgive by the power of his Spirit. He gave them a choice. He gave us a choice. And so sometimes it's necessary to reach out beyond our human capacity and in the power of the Lord's love to speak out words of forgiveness. Now this forgiveness, it must be said, is a decision. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. I might not feel forgiving. I might not have that emotional feeling of letting go of a hurt, truly being compassionate towards the one who hurt me. But that's not necessary. Some hurts are so deep that it takes time to drain away. Forgiveness is first of all an act of the will. It's a decision. I want to forgive. I do forgive. And then there are some people, and I suppose in our frail humanity, very understandably so, we're still, even at this point, they have been so deeply wounded, so badly hurt, they still cannot make that decision to forgive and to let go. But I think if there is at least a desire to forgive, the Lord will honor that. Sometimes it's the best a person can do, but at least they're reaching out. At least they're seeking to let go. If I cannot say, "I forgive you," I can at least say, "I want to." It's not necessary to be in the presence of that person. It's not necessary to seek that person out. In fact, very often it might be wrong to seek that person out. For example, the case of a woman who was very badly hurt by her mother. She was a victim of child abuse. And this is something that had happened years ago. The woman was now grown. Her mother was old. And there was no need for that woman to go back to her mother, to dredge up past hurts and the guilt that her mother was feeling, and to speak out words of forgiveness. It would have been well if it could be done, but in this particular case it was impossible, and it was the better part of prudence not to go back to her mother. And so in her vivid imagination she pictured her mother, and she spoke out those words of forgiveness that she needed to say. She verbalized it, and she let go. In her mind and in her will, she let go of the hurts, the grudges, the resentment that she carried for all those years, and she let it drain away, and she found healing. The one who was the most unjustly hurt of all was Jesus, suffering upon the cross. If you can, in your imagination, picture Jesus on the cross, in his agony, his anguish, and in his pain, you see a man who has truly suffered every hurt that a human being can suffer. He has been misunderstood. He has been badly judged, unjustly condemned, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, abandoned. His own friends are not there. There seems to be, on that hill of Calvary, nothing that is humanly comforting to Jesus. All around him, there are those who hate him, and those upon whom he should have been able to count, his disciples, his closest friends, and they're simply not there. And this seems to be the situation of so many, so deeply wounded people, so unjustly hurt and treated, without any human comfort all around. And yet let's look at the way that Jesus prayed. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And to think perhaps in that prayer, we might have some insight into the psychology of the mind of Jesus at that time, or perhaps he was trying to teach us, who would follow in no hurts, teach us something about how to forgive. And Jesus didn't say, "I forgive them." He didn't speak out words of forgiveness to them, but yet he prayed to the Father, "Father, you forgive them." And maybe Jesus was so badly hurt and wounded in his heart that it was even beyond him to truly speak out forgiveness to those people. And so he said, "Father, you forgive them. You do it, Father, and I will say amen. I will say yes to your forgiveness." And so very often what we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive, or the Father to forgive, and let that flow of loving forgiveness and forgiving love move out into that person that has hurt us, and then move with that flow. Sometimes it's a helpful approach to step back and to pray first for understanding, because people who hurt us have been themselves hurt, and they themselves are working out of their own accumulated pain and fear. And we have to remember that they too are loved and understood by God, and God knows, and God understands, and God sees their heart, and God forgives. And we pray that we can see them with the eyes of the Lord. And a good way to pray, if you have someone who's truly hurt you, is to simply picture that person. Picture him standing next to Jesus. And stand beside Jesus and look at that person who once you called your enemy. At one time, you had hatred in your heart for that person, or desire to revenge yourself upon him. But stand next to Jesus now and look at him. And Scripture tells us to put on the mind of Christ and to have the heart of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. And ask the Lord Jesus to give you his eyes to see that person with, to give you his heart to love that person with, to give you his Spirit to forgive that person with. And ask Jesus to simply anoint you with understanding, that you can see that person and understand his or her hurts, pains, and sorrow, and disappointments, and that you would have in your heart for that other person a deep compassion. And Jesus puts his arm around you, and he does communicate to you that sense. You begin to see that person through the eyes of the Lord, and feel for that person with the very feeling of the Lord himself. And Jesus says to you, "Will you forgive? Will you join me in forgiving him or her for what has been done to you? And it is your decision." It's important to verbalize forgiving words, and to picture that person and to picture Jesus beside you, and to speak out the words that are needed to be said. "I forgive you. I let go of the hurt that you caused me. I let go of the grudge. I reject all desire for revenge, and I forgive you." I let go, and I truly forgive you with the forgiveness of God. I truly forgive you with the very Spirit of Jesus Himself. I let go, and I forgive you.